Your name?
I'm Brigitte Roussan.
Brigitte, can you describe, give an overview of the Diversity Fund?
Sure. The Diversity Fund is a social justice-oriented grant-making organization. We are a program of the Community Foundation for the National Capital Region, but we bring together a number of individual and institutional donors to make money available to grassroots organizations in DC communities of color that are working for social change, social justice.
And what was some of the impetus for this fund being created?
We really wanted to find a way to support organizations that were off the radar screen for most foundations and even wealthy individual donors. We wanted to look at what needs to be done to transform this city, to make sure that people of color continue to be residents of the city and get the resources that they need and deserve. So we decided that we were going to put our ducats together, bring some other folks into the picture, and identify the groups that are doing really great work on the ground that could use small grants. You know, most of the grants were between $500 and $2,000. We said we would give up to $5,000, but we gave grants, mostly less than that in order to reach a lot of groups.
So while the conversations for this fund were taking place, well, that was at a time when the city was doing the opposite, was cutting from these basic services that are needed.
Well, the city has definitely been cutting from basic services, and we wanted to make sure that we were supporting groups that were going to be catalysts, not just for, good budget policy, sound budget policy, which is very important, but for the whole fabric of what you need to have a strong community. And so we're looking at groups that are advocating for the rights of transgender people, lesbian, gay, bisexual people. We're looking at groups that are working with young people so that they know math, know how to create projects of their own, can be in conversation with the very people who are the developers, kind of running the city. And we also wanted to be sure of helping people who are working on food justice, which doesn't necessarily get a lot of play in the mainstream media or among mainstream politicians, unless
except
they're talking
say,
about a Walmart
exactly.
coming in, and we're not interested in that. So we're really looking at, a different kind of community development where people are doing it for themselves.
Don't mean to put you on the spot, but any favorites of the recipients you want to mention?
Well, I'm a media person from way back, so I really love that grassroots media empowerment project that Empower DC has. But, I think every group is doing amazing work, and I'm just really grateful.
Unique Services seem to be doing similar work.
Yeah, Unique Services is doing awesome work with creating videos and putting them online. They're looking at gentrification. They're looking at, various issues that really just strike at the heart of what the community needs to be about and is about. I think, part of what they do is teaching young people how to do this work, and part of what they do is just putting a focus on people in the community that otherwise wouldn't get that level of attention. And it's on YouTube, and you can, everybody around the world can see it.
Speaking of Unique, can you talk about the structure of the Diverse City Fund?
Sure. We have two major bodies. We have a board, which we call the Board of Instigators, because we're not just about being corporate or, holding down some particular structure. We're about creating as much of a flow as we can from wealthy to people who can spread the wealth. And so that Board of Instigators is really there to provide a governance foundation and to bring the money in that we're going to be giving away in grants. And then the grant-making team is all people of color, It has three people from the board and who overlap on both bodies, and all the rest are other folks in the community. And they're all people who live, work, and have activist, you know, street cred in D.C. So that grant-making team makes the decisions. And frankly, you know, I was a little surprised that we decided that we wouldn't even have the board ratify those decisions, that we wanted that grant-making team to have autonomy and be able to, you know, absolutely make the determination of who would get grant funding.
Any final thoughts you care to share?
Well, I should say that we do want to create an advisory council, and we do have an amazing group of donors already. And what we want to do is have community organizations, churches, sororities, fraternities, alumni groups, you know, motorcycle clubs, to, you know, come forward and say, we'll take up a collection once a month, once a year, or we'll do a fundraiser for you. We think that it's going to be very important to not just rely on wealthy individuals, that we really have a grassroots fundraising approach as well.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Pete. All right.
Your name?
My name is Judy Hawkins. I work with Unique Services with Valencia's It Is What It Is mobile talk show. And we get live raw footage in the hood from people that don't get media coverages unless they have the yellow tape and the chalked in body. There's more news going on in D.C. than hits the airwaves, and we're trying to do our best to give people that need the coverage free coverage.
What are some of the ages you work with?
We work from ages from babies all the way up to 100 years old. We work with people from all over town, from different parts of the world. We're downtown, we're uptown. We do a lot of our footage in Ward 8 because they really need some positive media coming out of Ward 8.
What are some of the issues you've covered?
We've covered gentrification. We've covered the housing cuts and the welfare budget cuts. We've covered high-speed crashes. We've done talent shows. We have like a library of different rappers where during the year when people like stop on the street and rap for us, we put them together so they can get a little publicity online.
How would you say the so-called mainstream media does at covering these issues?
I don't do mainstream media. Mainstream media doesn't tell the real story like it is. And so we're doing our level best to do alternative media because that's where the real news is.
Your name?
Anise Jenkins, Stand Up for Democracy in D.C. Coalition, otherwise known as Free D.C. We are just leaving diversity program today. We were awarded a grant, and it is wonderful for an organization like us out there in the trenches, just not even focusing on money, really, to be awarded a grant, and we really appreciate their work and the work of all the grassroots organizations that are here today.
You work on the issue of statehood, not voting rights, statehood?
Absolutely. Statehood, 100%. There's no equivocation. Statehood is what we need. Statehood is what we deserve. Statehood includes all the rights that American citizens have. Voting rights, control of your local budget, control of your judicial system. It's everything. Everything. You don't need to go for a crumb when you can get the whole pizza pie. Go for it. Statehood now.
What is D.C., of all the so-called Western democracies, this is the only capital?
Yes.
Is that right, that the only capital that is not fully enfranchised citizens?
Yes. I think it's now 119 countries that have any form of representation in their so-called Congress. We're the only country. It's an international disgrace. The United Nations Human Rights Commission, the OSCE, the OAS have all condemned the United States for really oppressing the people that live in its capital. And we're going to continue to advocate for it. We want D.C. residents to get angry, get mad, and go out. And you might go occupy D.C., you might go occupy Congress, you might go and just talk to your church. But we want D.C. residents to get mad and demand what we deserve. We're going to get statehood, and it won't be very long.
Thanks, Anise Jenkins.
Thank you, Pete. You're always on the case.
Your name?
How you doing? My name is Stuart Anderson. I am the founding director for family and friends of incarcerated people. We basically provide services, information for children of people who are incarcerated and at-risk youth throughout the city and the Washington metropolitan area. We provide, during the summer specifically, we have a whole core of summer youth programs. We do video film screening with the youth, where we show films, ask them to come back and sit down, we talk about them and see how they relate to their lives. We do roller skating, ice skating events bi-weekly during the summer cycles. We also take them on other kind of like excursions about the city to try to expose them to some other things other than whatever's going on in their neighborhood. We do these things primarily because most of the members of the organization have been incarcerated, and so they know what it's like to try to do things for your child from inside. And they know that the children lack certain necessities, and so we try to be like a buffer in between to try to provide those services for people who are still incarcerated. That's the basic thing that we do. You know, sometimes one of our major events is an annual cookout where we bring all the children who participate in our activities over the years together, and we do it in different localities of the city to try to give the children a connection with other children who are at risk, and then give them kind of like a safe passage through these other neighborhoods, thereby providing a greater sense of public safety. So FFOIP is basically a public safety tool for a city.
Your name?
Petula George. I'm the executive director of Common Good City Farm, and we're a half-acre urban farm growing food in a sustainable way to feed those who need it the most, those who do not have access to fresh, healthy produce, and teaching young people how to make healthy food choices, how to grow their own food, and how to make healthy meals and create their own snacks, and teaching them to take control of their food. A lot of times they don't have a choice but to eat unhealthy food. And so we're excited to receive this grant today that will help us build raised gardens in an underserved community in at the Kelly Miller complex with the teenagers at Kelly Miller, and provide a stipend for them in order for them to choose the vegetables they want to grow, work with the senior citizens at the center, and also build raised beds so that they can be more self-sufficient and have access to fresh, healthy produce, which is either too expensive or they can get to it easily. And so they have better options with us in the neighborhood growing food. Our Green Tomorrows program allows folks to come to the farm, attend a workshop, and get a bag of produce in return. Anyone who earns less than a DC living wage can provide 2 hours on the farm to learn about what we're doing and to help out and get a bag of produce in return. So we're really about increasing healthy food access in our neighborhood.
What are the consequences of a lack of healthy food in one's diet?
The consequences are very visible all around us. Obesity, diabetes, poor performance in school. Just your diet has everything to do with how you perform, how your body works. And so if folks are eating unhealthy, lots of high fat, sugary foods, then your body fails because it's not getting the nutrition that it needs. And so we are taxing our healthcare system. We're our schools unfortunately not providing enough healthy food choices for the kids, and so they're underperforming because they can't focus. And also just the environmental consequences of not growing food in a healthy way. It depletes the soil if you use a whole lot of chemicals. And also it's not good for the workers who are exposed to this. So we use organic practices, though we're not certified organic, but we do use sustainable agricultural practices. So there's a myriad of consequences for not producing food the right way and consuming food that is unhealthy for the body. And so it's expensive. And we just bring a very unhealthy population, and our kids are really overweight and dealing with all these adult chronic diseases that was unheard of in the past.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Your name?
Stephanie Rones. I'm the executive director of Premier Community Development Corporation.
What do you do?
Well, we're a 501c3 organization that operates in Ward 5. What we do is we work to help residents develop opportunities for young people. We also are focused on economic development, help people start small businesses, and we stand for affordable housing.
How long have you been operating?
11 years.
What is this grant? What might it help you do?
Well, the Safeway abruptly left our community, and there is a large number of seniors that no longer have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. So we've decided to start a farmer's market to meet that need. Now, as far as the grant is concerned, we would like to use the funds to hire a young person and train them in all of the operations of the market so they could take it over and run it.
Ward 5, in certain parts, especially with that Safeway leaving, would that be qualify as one of these food deserts?
Well, there's a very technical definition of a food desert, and if you go by the one that is used at the Department of Agriculture, technically no, but practically speaking, yes, because the closest supermarket is a Giant across the street on Rhode Island Avenue. However, it's very difficult for anybody that doesn't have a car to get to the Giant. And it's especially difficult for a senior to navigate Rhode Island Avenue. Rhode Island Avenue is one of the busiest streets in the city. 35,000 cars traverse Rhode Island Avenue on a daily basis. And not only that, but to get to the Giant, you have to walk up a steep incline. It's really an automobile-focused Giant. Unless you have a car, you can forget it.
That's one of the arguments that is made for why Walmart is needed, because there's lack of fresh fruits and vegetables. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, on December 7th, we're having a teach-in about Walmart, because one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to empower people. And by empowering them, we're suggesting that they start their own business, a small business, particularly on Rhode Island Avenue. We're not interested in having Walmart come in and shut down all of the small businesses. The Loyola study proved that Walmart is a one-to-one trade-off. For every job they produce, they kill a job. So it's a zero-sum game. Not only that, but Walmart, their produce doesn't meet the standards of a farmer's market. Their produce often is grown in agribusiness, and it's not ripe, and nor is it organic, nor does it have the attributes of the type of fruits and vegetables that we would like to see our seniors purchase.
What are the health effects of seniors not having access to fresh fruits and vegetables?
Well, you know, in our community, we have a very high incidence of diabetes, heart disease, and the list goes on, and 90% of it is diet-related. So there's a direct correlation between the type of foods that you can buy at the supermarket and your state of health. And that's one of the main reasons why we want to start a farmer's market, is because people need to become aware that what they eat determines their longevity. So that's one of the primary motivators we have for starting a farmer's market. We have to educate people, because 90% of the stuff you buy at the supermarket is not good for you.
And here it's private money that's being used, but it also seems like there might be a public role here if so many of the illnesses that end up costing so much in people's in personal pain, but also in public dollars in healthcare, is at stake here.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I think that's why Michelle Obama took this particular issue up, because there is a direct correlation between the preservatives, the chemicals, and all of the mutated foods that people buy and eat. So it is an educational process that we're banking upon. Starting a farmer's market is just a small step towards educating people about how to survive. It's a survival issue.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, we're really grateful to have this acknowledgement of our work. We do it as volunteers because we love the community, we love the people. Most of the board have been long-term residents of Ward 5, and we seek to give back, so it's really a labor of love. And we're looking forward to working with the young people so that we can help train them to take over the organization. And they'll put us out of business, but we're trying to give back.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Your name?
My name is Devonna Petrie.
Your organization?
Taiyan's Breakthrough.
What do you do?
We restore joy, strength, and growth opportunities into the lives of low-income single mothers.
Where do you do that?
We do that in Northeast, Northwest, and Southeast in D.C.
What is this grant going to help you do?
Oh, my goodness. We have great news. We just recently got our own facility, and we're scheduled to move in on December 1st, and this grant will definitely help us open our doors to our own work-life center for low-income single mothers.
Give me an example of an individual who your organization has helped.
My organization has helped young women that feels hopeless, feel like their dreams and everything must be put to the side because they're facing poverty from being a young single mother with low self-esteem, and they're forced to be put in a situation where they have to break the cycle because it was a cycle from their mother and their mother's mother, but sometimes they don't know how to break it, so through our organization, that's what we teach them, to build solid foundations for themselves and their children.
What does that look like? What is the assistance that you're offering? How does it play out?
Okay, we have an amazing comprehensive wraparound program that focuses on positive self-concept building, job readiness, and financial literacy. And it's like it starts out with 8 weeks, and we focus on just exploring ourselves to become our best selves. We talk about love, pain, joy. We set goals. We create life plans. We do everything. We cry. We laugh. We pray. That's what we do in this program.
What's the job market like right now?
The job market, you know what? I try to stay positive. Everybody, we get so caught up on, okay, everybody's unemployed, the economy is down. But I think that this is a positive time for us to focus on our dreams, to get up, because we have so much time. When you're unemployed, we use that time to just figure out who we are, figure out what you want to do with yourself. So though some of the women are unemployed or we may be unemployed, this is the time for us to just get to know ourselves and just to be everything that we need to be and set our own dreams. So nobody's going to work for you like you work for you. So I think this is the time.
Thanks so much. Anything you want to add?
No, I just want to say thank you to the Diverse Cities Fund. Thank you.
Your name?
My name is Dwayne Jones from Unique Services, Inc. We provide a media platform for underserved communities in the District of Columbia. It's also to raise the awareness and issues in communities that are underserved and to help people exercise their freedom of speech.
How long have you been doing that?
We've been doing this for about 7 years now. So, you know, we go around and whatever happening, we try to be there as much as possible. And just try to, you know, bring awareness up in the communities and in the surrounding areas in D.C. to make sure that it get out, because sometimes, you know, the media don't show up for everything. They don't know. They only show up when something bad happens in the community. We're there to try to show the good, the bad, and uplift everybody in the communities that we serve.
What might this grant help you to achieve?
Basically, what this grant is going to achieve for us is we're basically just going to get better cameras, because we done put like all our money into this to try to keep it going. But it will probably more than anything go towards more and better equipment for me and it's three of us. So we work very hard.
Yeah. And the cameras?
We use FlipShare cameras right now. So we will probably upgrade our camera equipment, you know, for more like a more handy cam, scope, or something of that nature, and maybe laptops. That's more than likely what we would do with the fund.
And then folks are producing videos?
Yeah, we produce and edit our own videos. So we do all the film and all the editing, and we put it out for free.
And what age folks are you working with?
Our organization. Well, we work with anybody who want to work with us. So it's not, you know, we pick particular organization to deal with. Just like tonight, it's 23 people or organizations who got grants. We're going to try to reach out to all of them and try to get them a platform to get noticed. Because, you know, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on DCTV. So we do have outside partners, but all funding basically come from us.
Anything more you want to say about the media showing up some places and not others?
I mean, that's just a fact of where we live at. It's on the individual to go out here and want to do that. The news to the mainstream is not news to everybody that's living day to day. News could be out here, we on 5th and K, the traffic congestion. That could be news to these people down here. You know what I mean? Anytime anything violent or negative occurs, that's what they focus on. You know what I mean? And the focus go much deeper than that. You know, you have the teenage pregnancy right here, AIDS, the schools. You have so many other different things that's going on that's newsworthy. And that's what we try to focus on.
Thanks so much.